We're going to Halacha Mem Hey. We're discussing someone reached Amat HaMayim. That means to say that a person is walking, they reach a stream of water. What's the best way to get across? So the answer is, the Kitzur says you could skip, you could jump. This is when you need to know how to jump. And even if it's wide, and it's better to jump than to walk around, because walking more is worse than jumping over. Unbelievable. Now, you're not allowed to walk through the water itself. Why? Because we're worried you're going to come squeeze your clothing. Now, if a person knows of a place where they want to walk, but it's slippery, you're not allowed to walk there on Shabbos. Why is that? We're worried a person's going to fall and they're going to soak his clothing and come to Schita. This is an amazing halacha. Now, there's of course exceptions to that, and that's the next halacha. And that is, if a person's going to Dvar Mitzvah, for example, if a person's going to Shul, a person's going to greet his father or his Rebbe, or someone that's greater than him in wisdom, then he's allowed to walk through an actual river. But in order to do that, you got to do what's called a shinui. Do something different. For example, decide you're not going to take your hand out of the bottom of your clothing or something to that, to put your hand between your belt. Something to remind yourself not to come to squeeze your clothing and be over the of libun of melabin of laundry. Now, a person is not allowed to go with a sandal because sandals are not so fastened to their feet. Now, I saw the Chayim say that today, our sandals are much stronger, so therefore there's no concern, and it's equal to really what the kids themselves says, that if you have a shoe, a regular shoe, it's permitted. Now, once a person goes to Val Mitzvah, you're allowed to come back. Because otherwise you will never end up going to a mitzvah. But if a person is going to guard his fruits, which is interesting that the Kitzur says going and watching your fruits, so that's a shtickle. It's a little bit of a mitzvah. Taking care of your money is a little bit of a mitzvah. And therefore, you're allowed to walk through the river, but you're not allowed to come back. Next halacha, when it comes to a person that has mud on their garment, more children than the like, if it's moist, you're allowed to drag it off, meaning peel it off with your finger or a knife. Meaning to say, you could, as long as it's not dry. If it's not dry, you're allowed to scrape it off. The only concern is when it becomes dry, why is it a problem? Because now you're being over the issur of teichen, you're grinding. Well, that's an interesting chiddush, that it applies even to foods, that as long as they grow from the ground, or the earth itself. Now, here we're talking about dried mud that's on a garment or a shoe. But if you have it on your body, then it's already different. And the reason for that is, you can rely on the lenient opinion. When it comes to discomfort on your body, so in such a case, we view some of the scraping mud is not necessarily considered grinding. So there's a debate about this, and therefore in some instances, like when it's on your body, you're allowed to actually remove it, even though you're grinding it. Next, a black clothing. This is a very interesting machlik. It's actually a shochanoch and a ramah. We gave share in this, so we had all these distinctions between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. But on the Pashup Shat, a black clothing, you're not allowed to shake it off from snow or from dust. Very common that you end up having, what's also common is to have dandruff. So there's going to be a distinction, because the Kitzur himself says, you're allowed to remove feathers with your hand off your black clothing. But some say that better not to. So there's actually a distinction that the Mishnah Berurah himself says, and many times this happens, especially those who wear black hats, and it falls off on the floor and gets all dusty. So there's a major problem. How are you allowed? So the answer is, you're allowed to remove any of the dust, basically particles that are resting on the surface. A little bit tricky to know what's on the surface and what's already embedded. When you start rubbing, you know that you're already going into the embedded part, and therefore it's a concern. Sometimes the most beautiful thing is to have a stain or some dust on your shirt or your coat. The cover job is once it happens, because you're not allowed to remove it. But like I said, it depends if it's embedded or not. When it comes to mud that's on a person's foot or his shoes, he's allowed to remove it with something they're allowed to move. Or that means you could take, let's say, an item and scrape it off. Or you could clean it, your shoe on a beam, but don't use a wall or the ground. Now, the reason for that is because now you're running into a shayla of what's called meshave karka, meaning a shayla of chirish, leveling off or adding structure, mud to an existing structure like a wall. Now, this is a big chiddush, and that's the reason why so the Bialach al Chavetzchaim himself says, and even the kids said, Shasat Chak. For example, if a person has tsoya, they have excrements in one's foot on the shoe. Happens a lot. A person walks on, unfortunately, dogs that people own of dogs that didn't clean up. And now you have it on your shoe. You're allowed to, in such a case, rub your shoe, clean off your shoe on a wall. And if there's no wall, you could even do it on the floor. Because as we said, really, when it comes to Mekar Din, we don't look at it as building. Now, if a person has water, you could also rinse your shoe with water, so long as your shoe is made of leather. Why is that? Because the chiddush is, when it comes to leather, pouring water is not considered kibbutz, it's not considered laundering. It's only a different type of material, like cloth, that would be a shayla. Nevertheless, when it comes to a knife, you're not allowed to scrape mud and excrements off your leather shoe. And the reason for that is because now you have a new shayla, memachik, meaning using a sharp instrument basically smooths the surface. But if you have other types of material, not a problem. That's one reason why we said you're allowed to scrape off, let's say, stain, a chulent amount of chulent that's on your garment. Again, you're not allowed to wash it off, but scraping it off, you said, is okay. Now, when it comes to, they used to have this metal. I think most people don't have this anymore. In front of the day, they used to have this metal that a person would basically clean off a shoe. I don't know, for some reason in Israel, I guess it was much more muddy areas, and we end up busy on Shabbos trying to wipe off some of the mud from the shoe. In any case, if it's sharp, it's a problem. Because as we said before, it could be a shayla memachek. But if it's not, then it's mutter. If a person's hand got dirty, soiled with mud, don't clean it with a type of cloth that you clean your hands with, meaning something that you're concerned that if it's dirty, you might want to come to launder. But if it's something you don't care about, so then it's not a problem. When it comes to coloring, so there's an issel of tzviya. Now, tzviya is one of the malachas. The question is, when is it the rice and when is the rabbanon? If it's what's called miskaim, it would be the rice. If it's not miskaim, it still would be asur midrabbanon. So that's the reason why Kitzu says a woman is not allowed to color her face. Now, this comes into a major discussion about makeup on Shabbos. So those that don't put any makeup on Shabbos, I mean, usually anyway, you put a makeup before Shabbos, but women don't have, by the time they wake up Shabbos in the morning, not much of the makeup is left. Or if a woman has to go to the mikveh, that's also a major shayla. So there is a heta from Ramayisha. Basically is matir certain colors that have, I think, what's called the water base. And there's a hush of a store in Wesley Kosher area that I sent a lot of ladies to, where they have a list based on Ramayisha, which one's okay and which one's not. Generally speaking, something that's easily washed off with water means that it's not something that's so mekuyim. Something that has a real permanency, and therefore that's the reason why it's permitted. Now, those of the machmen don't do that either. A person should be careful, because it says that when his hands are colored from fruits, they shouldn't touch his garment because he's coloring it. And similar, person has a nosebleed or some type of blood, he shouldn't clean it on a cloth. So this is also a major chiddush, especially when it's done b'derech lichluch, meaning when it's done in a way where you're just cleaning yourself. Now, here's where we come into this major shayla. Shayla is the next halacha, what comes to saffron. Karkoim. Karkoim is such an interesting, a lot of discussions in Shas about karkoim, the color of karkoim, the reddish yellow color. Saffron basically is a type, it's yellow orange spice. I'm sure you've seen it. And the shayla is, can you place it into your cooked item? What's the concern? Because you're coloring. Now, really, this is based actually on what the Kitzer himself is quoting in the Chaye Adam. So basically, he discusses the idea, and really what the Chaye Adam is discussing, dyeing colors that apply when it comes to food, even though it's food, but really the main intention is to enhance the color. But if it's being done derech achila, that's really where it's mutter. The Mishnah Berurah himself discusses this, where a person with coloring is being done, even to enhance the eating part. Meaning if it's for the sake of getting the food to be more appealing, that's also considered eating purposes. One of the best examples, I think, is that's really more shaykh to Alba Kosis, 4 cups of wine on Pesach night, so you're supposed to have it red. It's based on the pasuk Atiriyah in Kisadam. If you remember, we learned that. So it's better to have red. Now, so the shaila is, can you take if you have white wine, can you add the red wine? Because there you're not doing it for the eating purposes, you're doing it simply for the coloring part. So that's why it's best to do the opposite. This is a shaila's. So Ikar Din, we paskin and Tzvi Avoichim. That's really the way the Mishumah paskins. And I think also the Kitzum Ikar Din is holding that way. But the Chatchila, we try to avoid that. So for example, even you're making tea and different types of things, to try to avoid that you're putting the color into the water, rather the opposite, you're putting the water into the color. So then you're not coloring really the water. It's come happy. It's happening indirectly. Okay, another interesting halach. You're not allowed to tear. Or you can't, what's called shazira. Shazira means you can't braid or twist even two strings or even two hairs that are detached. This is really going into the shaila of braiding hair of a wig. We mentioned already making braids on the existing hair, regular hair. We said it's a shaila baina. But this is also here where you have the wigs. So you're not allowed to braid the hairs of a wig. And lastly, we get into the world of Keshira. Kesher, in general, when it comes to making knots, so there's really two prerequisites in order to make it on a Daraisa level. And the simple, really simple is that it has to be that it's a professional knot, and number two, that's Kayama. The big shaila is, what does Kayama mean? And there are Shitas, their opinions are holding, with the Kitzur goes Achatchil, which is what we are Machmi with, that if something is made for 24 hours, it's already considered a Davash Kayama. Now, it's interesting that we use this also in a tremendous leniency, Chelkas Yoav in the Gabi El Chasnida, but when we get to that then another day. But in the meantime, that's what we need to know, that in order for it to be biblical, meaning the rice has to be, that's a professional knot and it's permanent. If it's anything less than that, it's drabbanan, but it's a big question. There's still left questions as to what is considered professional knot and what is considered, like I said, kayama. So that's why now the kitzur basically tells us, in general, when it comes to tying two strings, if you have two edges, even if a long string, but now you take the two edges and you're tying them together. So if you do what's called a knot al gabei a knot, double knot, so that would be already a problem. Why is that? Because it could be that that's already considered a professional knot, and the idea of why it's defined as a professional knot because it lasts. So this is why the kitzur discusses things. That like double knots you shouldn't do, even if it's something you can undo on Shabbos. So even on a shoe, you do a double knot. Technically, according to Kitzur, it would be a problem. I remember my Rebbe used to, I think, was matir, if it's a double knot, but it's a loose double knot, that a person can actually, first of all, undo with one hand. And I think the aside is, if you think about, I could do a double knot on my shoe and pull it off with one hand, meaning pulling it out, pulling on one of the strings, because really it's not tight. There's two ways of doing this double knot. But I would say the chatchila, let's go with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch basically is saying that you shouldn't do a double knot. What you should do is you should do what's called one knot and then do a bow on top of a knot. That would be the best idea. Or as the Kitzur himself says, if you do many bows on top of each other, so you have to be a little talented to know how to do a bow on top of a bow. You could do many. Even if your intention is to last for many days, so interesting, that's not a problem. The reason why it is because it never starts being even a knot, because a bow by definition is not a knot, and that's the reason why you might have such a case. Have a beautiful day.